Hello, and welcome to Mornings with Joel, Commercial Real Estate Podcast, where we focus on rising stars and established players in commercial real estate and talk to them about how they are building legacies in today's marketplace. All right. Well, we'd like to invite everyone and welcome you to the Mornings with Joel CRE Podcast. We're excited today. As you know, Atlanta's been on fire. It's been one of the cities that has received more economic investment from real estate investors than any other city in the country. And it has also got the busiest airport in the country, as we all know. So we're delighted to have a special guest with us today, Gerald McDowell. Gerald, how you doing, man? How's it going?
I am doing fantastic. Thank you. Glad to be here today.
All right. Fantastic. Hey, man, you got to get me that screensaver behind you, man. I love that. I need to put that on my computer.
All the credit goes to our marketing director.
I hear you. So hopefully I get a chance to meet those folks one day. But yeah, man, so I wanted to bring you on, and I appreciate you being so gracious to join us, because you're doing a lot of work as it relates to the improvement of the Atlanta Airport District. You know, as you know, Atlanta for the longest has been this migration to the north. Everybody wants to go north, but there's a lot of opportunity on the south side, especially in the airport area. And I'm excited that you've taken out some time to talk to us about it today. So first of all, tell us who you are and what your position is, and a little bit about why I asked you to be here today.
I am Gerald McDowell, Executive Director for the ATL Airport Community Improvement Districts. We are actually two community improvement districts working under this brand, ATL Airport Community Improvement District. There's a Airport West Community Improvement District on the Fulton County side of the airport. And then there is an Airport South on the Clayton County side of the airport. And those two community improvement districts are independent organizations, independent entities. They have their own board of directors. And but they came together back in 2016 to work under this brand, the ATL Airport Community Improvement Districts. And I, along with a team of five others, we manage the day-to-day operations of these two community improvement districts.
Okay. All right. Fantastic. That's good to know. I certainly appreciate that. So, you know, executive director means that, you know, people report to you. So How did you get to where you are today? And just tell us a little bit about your background.
I started with working with a community improvement district back in 2005. Prior to that, I had been in the IT industry for almost 20 years. Okay. I started out as a software developer. Mm-hmm. Then I moved into project management and ended my IT career. Started my own software company, and over that 18, 19 year span, I did projects in probably over 40 or 45 different states. Mm. And about 12 or 15 different countries. So had a very rich IT career. Mm-hmm. And then in 2005, I made a career change and started working with a community improvement district there in the Atlanta market on the North Metro side. And I served that community improvement district for about 5 years. Okay. And then there was a new community improvement district that started up, and they hired me as to be their executive director. I went over there for about 5 years as well. And then came here in 2015. I've been here now at the ATL Airport Community Improvement District since 2015. So I've had a rich career in IT, and now I've been in the Community Improvement District space now for 18 years, and I feel like I'm just getting started.
Okay. All right. Well, no, that sounds good. That sounds good. That gives us a little bit of about your background, and it's exciting to hear about the your technology background. I want to dive into that a little bit more as we go forward, because I know that there's a lot of alternatives to heavy rail that's being looked at. So maybe we'll get a chance to talk about that a little bit as well. Actually, how long have you been in Atlanta?
I came here in 1984 as an 18-year-old. I came here for college.
Okay.
And upon graduation in 1987, I ended up with a position here in the Atlanta market. And then a year or two or three later, found someone, young lady at church, fell in love. And I'm from a very rural community in the Fayetteville, North Carolina area.
Okay.
And she didn't want to go home with me to the country. She's from St. Louis. So we decided to make Atlanta our home. Okay. But I've been here since 1984. My wife is from St. Louis. She's been here since 1982. We have a daughter who is about to be 29 in June. She is a second year law student up in Boston.
Okay.
And then we have a son who's will be 26 on Monday, actually. And he's a farmer.
Okay.
He's married and working as a farmer with his wife in South Georgia.
Wow. How about that? That's a little diverse. You got a lawyer on one and a farmer on the other. That's exciting.
Yes.
Well, congratulations on that. That's quite a story. So with Atlanta, obviously you working in the airport district, you have seen a tremendous amount of growth. Just tell us your perspective on that over time. You know, how have you seen Atlanta grow, and especially the area that you serve right now in that airport district?
Well, it actually it's been somewhat of an eye-opening experience for me these last 8 years. When I came to Atlanta in 84 and up until I was hired for this position, I didn't spend much time in South Metro Atlanta where the airport is located. So I wasn't quite as familiar with South Metro. And like a lot of Atlantans, I was basing what I knew about South Metro on false perceptions. And you spoke earlier about Hartsfield-Jackson, the airport. It's actually the world's busiest airport.
Mm-hmm.
But before the pandemic, that airport had almost 110 million passengers a year. And I heard a speech recently from the general manager of the airport, and he said 2023 they're probably going to surpass 100 million passengers again. And so the eye-opening experience has been the fact that South Metro, where Atlanta Airport is located, probably has more potential for revitalization, new developments. I would say anywhere in Georgia, perhaps even in southeastern United States. It is, I was given a speech in Amsterdam a few years ago, and depending on how far out you go from the airport, there's anywhere from 60 to 90,000 acres of raw land that is available for development. And I've said that in my speech. And, you know, in that part of the world, they measure land in hectares. So I had to convert acres to hectares.
Mm-hmm.
And so one of the first questions I received is they want to know, was my conversion correct? And they said, based on your conversion, there are 60,000 acres around the world's busiest airport available for development. And I said, well, if that's the conversion, then I did it correctly. Mm-hmm. They said, well, how is that possible? How is it possible there are 60,000 acres around the world's busiest airport available for development? Well, that goes back to the history of the United States, especially in southern United States, when you talk about Jim Crow activities, mm-hmm. redlining, and other activities of that nature. Where that's what actually happened in South Metro Atlanta. And so today, what that presents in an open market, it creates tremendous opportunity for revitalization and for new development. And that makes it necessary for us to be here with our work as a community improvement district. Because in Georgia, there are now over 30 community improvement districts throughout the state of Georgia. Most of them are located in the Metro Atlanta market. Mm-hmm. And our core focus is infrastructure. And so it is necessary to have the appropriate infrastructure in place
mm-hmm.
in order for development and revitalization to take place. So our being here is significantly important because we're focusing on infrastructure. And so as developers and investors discover the opportunity in the Atlanta airport market, we are here to ensure that the appropriate infrastructure is in place to support that future revitalization and that future development.
Gotcha. Yeah, that's a very powerful point as it relates to getting that infrastructure in place, because generally infrastructure is trailing development, as you know.
Yes.
And it becomes a bit of a problem. And, so kind of looking forward, it certainly helps out. I guess that's the reason why they call you the Walt Disney of Atlanta, because you've got that forward-looking mindset, which is a beautiful thing. And you mentioned Amsterdam. I was just in Amsterdam in November, actually October of last year. And it wasn't my first trip there. I've been there a few times, but you're right. I mean, there is just totally different the way it's developed, especially with all the canals and the water issues that they have. But I could see them scratching their head saying, how in the world do you have 60,000 acres? It doesn't seem to make any sense. Let me ask you this. You mentioned that 60,000 acres and you said it, but I think I missed it. How far from the airport are we talking about? If you were to kind of look at that Southern Crescent and draw a circular line, how far are we talking out from the airport where you have that much development opportunity?
So those 60,000 acres are within 5 miles of the airport.
5 miles.
5 miles. And if you go out 15, excuse me, I said 5 miles, 5 minutes, not
okay.
5 miles.
5 minutes. Okay.
5 minutes. And if you go out 15 minutes from the airport, it goes up to 90,000 acres that's available for development. And as you know, in the development world, 15 minutes to an airport is nothing. It's ideal, right? So many may ask the question, well, why is that the case? What, now that we've passed these challenges of the Jim Crow era and redlining, why is that still the case? And the reason for that there are multiple layers, but a couple that I'll talk about. Number one, you have, unlike the city of Atlanta, you have multiple jurisdictions around mm-hmm. the airport. So in those 15 minutes, you're gonna go in and out of 14 different cities.
Wow.
14 different cities in Fulton County mm-hmm. and in Clayton County. There are 14 different cities when you go out 15 minutes from the airport. If you're just 5 minutes from the airport, you're still dealing with six or seven different cities. Mm-hmm. And so I had a developer to come on one occasion, and they had a project where the parcel that they wanted to develop sat, part of it sat in Fulton County and part of it sat in Clayton County. Mm-hmm. And so one county may give thumbs up for the project, whereas the other county may not. And therefore it halted the project. And that's one of the challenges. The other challenges, again, associated with the multiple jurisdictions, you have multiple policies, you have multiple zonings, and all these other challenges. So back in 2012, 2014 timeframe, another initiative started that's called Aerotropolis Atlanta. Yep. Mm-hmm. That's an economic development, workforce, education-focused initiative. And the overall objective was to create a space, if you will, where all these multiple jurisdictions could come to the table and they could align themselves in such a way that it would minimize those challenges that investors and developers have. And that effort is well underway, and we support that effort. And the primary way we support that effort is through what CIDs do or what community improvement districts do. And that is we focus on the infrastructure. So it's the multiple jurisdictions, and I'm happy to share some of our initiatives and how we're working to overcome those challenges with the multiple jurisdictions. And perhaps the biggest characteristic that separates all of that is now the aviation industry has gone through a radical change, I would say, in the last 10 years. And that change is an airport can no longer rely on the revenue that it generates within its fence, if you will. Mm-hmm. It is necessary now for the airport, for airports around the United States mm-hmm. to go outside of the fence and work with the communities. And Hartsfield-Jackson does that with excellence. They embrace the surrounding communities and have done. They are strong supporter of the Aerotropolis Initiative and strong supporters of the work of the community improvement districts. And because of that, you have an environment now where I predict over the next 25 years in Metro Atlanta, this is where you're going to see the greatest development that will take place in the metro area. It's going to happen in this airport area, in this South Metro area of Atlanta.
Gotcha. Yeah, well, I actually agree with you. let me ask this, and if you don't know the answer to this, that's fine, but Aerotropolis has certainly been talked about for a while. Where does that all stand right now? Or is that separate from really your purview? And, you know, if you don't know the answer, it's okay. I won't hold it against you. But do you know where it stands right now?
Yes. So it's a separate organization. I actually serve on the board and on executive committee for that organization. And so I work from that perspective. The organization is currently going through what it's calling a Blueprint 2.0, which is what that's the brand that they've given their master plan. Mm-hmm. And that 2.0 master planning process is to bring those multiple jurisdictions together and identify their sites that they would like to focus on for revitalization and for development. And so they're creating this master plan, if you will, for the Aerotropolis area. And the momentum has been building for that organization, and the sky is the limit. And we are cheerleaders and celebrating that initiative because it gives a different perspective to the airport area, and it allows investors and developers and others to see the incredible opportunity. And so that initiative is working. And mm-hmm. as you know, that's a global initiative. That's why I was in Amsterdam. Mm-hmm. I was speaking at an Aerotropolis Asia conference there in Amsterdam. And so that Aerotropolis, in a simple definition, it means airport city. Mm-hmm. So the idea is to recreate that central business district concept around an airport. And that, again, shows you how that radical change has taken place with airports, where now, prior to this change, development stayed away from airports because mm-hmm. of the airplane noise and other negative consequences of being in the airport. But now with the advancement of the aviation industry and technology and aircrafts and so forth, and with airports reaching outside of their fence, if you will, it is very real. As you know, for those who are familiar with Georgia and Atlanta in particular, in terms of the film industry and TV industry, mm-hmm. you know, it has exploded with multiple movie studios and film studios. And a lot of those, if not the majority of those, are located in the South Metro area of Atlanta. And just to give you an example, the headquarters, the North American headquarters for Porsche mm-hmm. sits right there on the outside of the airport property. Yeah. I was over there on one occasion for a meeting. They have a conference room where the outside wall is just glass, and you can see the planes landing and taking off. And if you have your back to that glass wall, you would never hear and never know when a plane is landing and when a plane is taking off. And that's mm-hmm. what that advancement in the aviation industry has presented, is that now the challenges of the past have been overcome. Mm-hmm. And so it has created this huge opportunity to create that concept called a central business district, where people can now live, work, and play in the airport area, which makes it more necessary for us to be here, because as you indicated earlier, a lot of times development happens at a pace faster than the infrastructure can keep up with it. And so one of the first negative consequences that comes out of growth is traffic congestion.
Yeah.
And so now you have to deal with how are people going to get around. And then on top of traffic congestion, you have people now, instead of purchasing 5-acre lots for their home, they're down to a 1/4-acre lot, because you got to find how you're going to fit people in this area where folks desire to live. Well, we're trying to be in front of all of that mm-hmm. and have some smart planning going to take place. And that's where our role comes in working with this Aerotropolis initiative, is to focus on the infrastructure in terms of what needs to be in place as this growth is occurring over the next 25 years. And so that Aerotropolis initiative, I would say, has been a godsend for the Metro Atlanta area. And it has brought these multiple jurisdictions together to a place where they are working together and relying on the individual strengths of each jurisdiction to make the Atlanta airport area a potential area for revitalization and development.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's very exciting, and I'm looking forward to seeing it grow. And I you know, give Porsche a lot of credit. You know, you would think that they would have moved up to the north side of Atlanta with their headquarters, but to be right there at the airport, you know, with that racetrack they have out there, you don't know whether it's a car or a plane half the time, you know, with the noise over there. But it's quite a cool spot, you know, that they put together there. It's really, really exciting. And they've given a lot of credit to the fact that development can be successful on the south side. I mean, look at what's happened to Hayteville once they went in there. I mean, that whole area started to revitalize. So I wanted to talk about, you mentioned infrastructure, and you know, you're right about the redlining and other things. The south side of Atlanta has kind of been depressed for a very long period of time. Nobody wanted to live there, and it's totally changing. So what initiatives do you guys have in place related to infrastructure for the south side in order to make sure that it does continue to grow like you promised? And, you know, I know that there are some substitutes to light rail or to heavy rail that we've talked about as well. So maybe you could tell us a little bit about that.
Absolutely. And so the approach that we've taken has been a very logical approach. And one of the first areas that we wanted to address was the negative and incomplete and incorrect perception of the South Metro area. And to address that, when people are driving through South Metro, they perceive based on what they see. And when you see closed down businesses, you see overgrowth area, you see a lot of trash, and you see other negative characteristics as such. And then it gives you a negative opinion about the area. And one of those opinions is that it's not safe to live in this area. It's not safe to own and operate a business in this area, and especially not safe to work in this area, and so forth. And so one of our first initiatives, it's what we call a beautification plan, where we hired a private landscape company, and our districts cover 15 square miles. So on a weekly basis, our private landscape companies, we coordinate with the local jurisdictions, and we work with six different cities, as well as the two counties and the Hartsfield. So we work with the cities of Atlanta, Hayteville, East Point, College Park, Forest Park, and then there's the new city of South Fulton. And we coordinate our schedules with their public work schedule for how they maintain the right-of-ways and the landscaping and the streetscaping throughout our 15 districts. And so on a weekly basis, our private landscape crew are out mowing, picking up trash, removing debris, those signs that you see when you come to a stop sign or a traffic signal, and then we're doing new plannings every year. There are 12 different interchanges where we have a plan to re-landscape each one of those interchanges and even install some monuments at some of those interchanges. And so our annual investment is somewhere around $500,000 to $600,000 just in the beautification efforts, so that as folks are coming through the South Metro area, through our districts, that they will see an area that is very appealing, and that demonstrates that it's a safe area. And so that leads us into our second area of focus, which is public safety. Once we came up with a plan for how to improve how the area looks and how to maintain that, then it was necessary for us to focus on public safety. So with all our local jurisdictions and law enforcement, with police departments in those cities and the counties, and even with the airport, even with the Georgia State Patrol and the FBI and the GBI and all these other folks, because of the airport area, you get all these different levels of law enforcement. We are now in the third phase of our public safety program, where in phase one, we had 24/7 patrols from a private security company. Then we moved into using technology where we hired off-duty police officers. So mm-hmm. we have a force, if you will, of about 15 officers who patrol the 15 square miles, about 120, 130 hours a week on our dime. We pay for them to patrol, and we supplement, you know, the patrols of the local police departments. And then we moved into technology, where we now have 89 license plate readers scattered throughout our 15 square miles. And then those license plate readers are now supplemented by a system called Fuchsius, F-U-S-U-S. And that's a artificial intelligent cloud-based security system where we can connect with private security cameras and create a network in a blanket over these 15 square miles. So now with those initiatives, where we're investing again about $500,000 a year in that public safety initiative, now we have lowered crime in many different cases with car break-ins, with thefts, with places being robbed and all those different types of criminal activities. We have seen the numbers take a deep dive. And just like, what was it, 2 or 3 weeks ago when they had that shooting in downtown Atlanta and they caught that individual about 4 or 6 hours later using technology. Mm-hmm. They use license plate readers and they use that Fuchsius system to apprehend that individual within 4 to 6 hours. We have that same technology in our 15 square miles. And so as a result of that, we have all our police departments now using artificial intelligence, using license plate readers, and supplementing that with our off-duty police officers to create this safe space, if you will, throughout our districts. And then finally, that moved us right into our next logical step, which is focusing on transit and transportation. Mm-hmm. And as you look in South Metro area, as you know, the MARTA train, our transit system stops at the airport. The train does not go south into Fulton County, and it does not go into Clayton County. It stops at the airport, and the communities are asking our transit agency, MARTA, for our heavy rail, the train. But now it's costing MARTA, as they told us recently, over $1 billion to build and expand per mile, $1 billion per mile. And so it was necessary back in 2018, 2019, mm-hmm. for us to find an alternative. And so we did a study back in 2018, a year-long study that ended in January of 2019. And that transit feasibility study drew our attention to three emerging technologies. Operation called micro transit or micro mobility, which is an on-demand public transportation service where you have these minivans or mini buses where you can use an app just like Uber or Lyft to request a ride. Autonomous shuttles, and that is more like a last mile and a first mile type solution. Mm-hmm. And then thirdly, a solution called personal rapid transit. And that's these pod cars, these vehicles that would hold anywhere from 2 to 4 people. And it works just like a transit train system where it has its own guideway. It doesn't operate in traffic like a micro transit or micro mobility or autonomous shuttle. It operates in its own guideway. But because it's an on-demand solution, which means that you request a ride. Now you're not waiting at a train station or a bus stop. Mm-hmm. And based on the schedule, you get a ride on a bus or on a train. Now you go to a station or a stop and you request a ride, and this pod car shows up and takes you directly to where you want to go to, perhaps even nonstop. So you may bypass other stations. And because of that technology, you're able to deliver a high rail solution at a fraction of the cost. Instead of costing $1 billion per mile to build, it costs anywhere from $10 to $30 million per mile to build. Wow. So if you got $1 billion, you can end up with 1 mile of a train, or you could end up with 50 miles of personal rapid transit. And so now we are working very closely with MARTA to pilot each one of those emerging technologies, autonomous shuttles, micro transit, and personal rapid transit. All of those pilots would be under construction or in process of going to construction before the end of this year, and will be operational in the 24-25 timeframes as a pilot. And if they prove to be viable and feasible, we will look to work with MARTA to expand those solutions even more in the years to come. But those emerging technologies allow us to find a solution that can address public transportation challenges in a market that is ripe for redevelopment and revitalization and new development, but allows us to get in front of that development before the masses come, and with solutions that will already be in place and support any kind of future development that takes place. And so that's been our focus: beautification, public safety, and transit solutions for our districts and for the South Metro area.
Yeah, that's a lot. That's a lot. But at least I see that there's definitely a method to the madness, if you will. You know, following a specific path, yeah, to get it done. Because you know, again, no one's going to want to come to an area that's not beautified and where there's trash all over the place. I remember one of my development buddies told me a long time ago. He said, "Well, if you're going to develop here, you got to buy up all this other property, or else your property is going to look like theirs, right?
That's right.
Over time.
That's
so,
right.
So you have That's to right. have the area look beautiful." You know, shout out to Ron McDonald, who might be listening to this podcast. And then the public safety thing, you're right. The perception was always the South Side is negative. We were talking with an investor yesterday on a apartment complex that we've got a contract out on. And, you know, that was one of the questions. You know, we heard that the South Side wasn't safe, you know, and those questions come up. So we were trying to explain that, you know, a lot of that is misperception. And I appreciate you clarifying that in the discussion. And this transportation model is quite interesting. You know, I grew up in Manhattan. So, you know, heavy rail is a very common thing for me, you know, and is expected. But, you know, if you could cut that cost by 90%, in some cases, or 85% to do one of these other models, I think it's quite interesting. I think the question I would have for you, though, is how far would that actually stretch out? You know, if a person lived in Forest Park, for an example, would they be able to take one of these pods all the way to Forest Park, or would it just take them to like another area where they have to jump on another vehicle and then go a little bit further? What's the plan around that?
Well, the concepts that we've been sharing show that the personal rapid transit solution can deliver the same level of service that you would get from a heavy rail. So the same area that you would want to cover heavy rail, you can cover that same area. So we have a concept where we show what a personal rapid transit network will look like, for example, in all of South Fulton. Mm-hmm. You can go to the end of Fulton County on the South Side with personal rapid transit, supplemented by micro mobility and autonomous shuttles. And then the same thing on the Clayton County side. We have concepts where we can show a personal rapid transit network to cover all of Clayton County, even all the way down to the racetrack. Instead of having 12 or 15 stations in either case, you might have as many as 75 or 85 or 105 stations at a fraction of the cost of what you would spend for 10 or 12 stations, right? And so that's one of the purposes of having these pilots, is to show that number one, that the technology is ready. Number two, that the technology can provide the level of service that is needed. And then once we can make that determination, then expanding personal rapid transit that will be supported by micro mobility, by autonomous shuttles, and even bus rapid transit. Bus rapid transit is another solution that MARTA has proposed throughout Atlanta. I fully support bus rapid transit. It absolutely does work, but it has the same limitations that you would have from a heavy rail system, where you'll get a linear route, mm-hmm. but it won't serve the larger community. So you have people walking an extended distance to get to a station. So even though bus rapid transit, I believe, is a solid solution for our communities, we need to be able to deploy these emerging technologies And the pilots is to make that determination based on my investigation and with my background in IT. I believe that these emerging technologies will be the public transportation networks of the future. That's why the new term now is ATN, Automated Transit Network. Mm-hmm. The 21st century solution for public transportation will be automated transit networks. It's going to have to be a solution that can be built with the funding that is currently available and no new funding. And it has to be a solution that is an on-demand solution, because Uber and Lyft has now shown us that we can get around on our schedule and not on the schedule of a public transportation system. And so public transportation is going to have to deliver an on-demand solution. And we believe that on-demand solution is an automated transit network that is made up of personal rapid transit that's supplemented by autonomous shuttles and micro mobility. And that's just the spurs for a network that you have, like a MARTA system, where you have heavy rail. That is not to displace heavy rail, it is to allow the transportation network to expand in areas that a heavy rail system will never expand into, not because of cost, but because of the real estate that is necessary that you will need in order to expand a heavy rail system. Mm-hmm. In South Metro, we want new development. We don't want to displace existing development.
Right.
And so that's what we fully believe. And our work has shown that is the model for this whole Aerotropolis initiative, which covers all of South Fulton and which covers Clayton County and even beyond. We believe it can go beyond into counties such as Henry County, Douglas County, perhaps even DeKalb County, if you will.
Okay. All right. How far down into Clayton does that model go, the Aerotropolis? Is it just far?
It includes all of Clayton County.
Really? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. All right.
All of Clayton County, all of South Fulton.
Okay. Very good. Very good. Let me do this also. While we're at this point in our discussion, we've got about 20 minutes. Let me open it up. If any of our guests have questions that they want to ask of Gerald, please raise your virtual hand. And we'll get those questions in. I'll put them in the chat and we will make sure that those questions get addressed. So thank you very much for that and for being in attendance here today as well. So, you know, Gerald, you kind of opened my eyes here as to the approach that's really being taken. I'm thinking about, okay, well, how does this kind of match up with an Uber or with a taxi or something like that when it comes to taking you to your door? But you're saying, okay, well, I don't necessarily have to take you to your door, but if rapid transit was going to go to this particular location, what if I could drop you there in a much more efficient way? Or, as you know, sometimes with rapid transit, you have the issue of, well, this stop right here is too far away, and this one is too far the other way. So I'm kind of, you know, where do I get off in the middle? And your point was very valid that if a mass transit system has maybe two stops, you can maybe put five in that same space, which makes it much more convenient. I'm also thinking about, development from the standpoint of there's a transit-oriented development where multifamily developers, retail and others, they want to be close to rail systems or some type of mass transit. And, we're involved in a couple of projects like that right now. And the ability to be able to do this is very exciting. So, that's an eye-opener from that standpoint. And then to reach out so far from the airport, I think is a great thing. What would you like to see as regards development? Let's say if we're looking, 10, 15 years into the future, what do you think this whole area can basically look like around the airport and with these other tools and instruments that you're talking about? If you had your way as executive director.
Yes. I look at it from a very logical perspective. That's my background when I was in IT, and that's mm-hmm. and that's the approach that I take in general, is I look at it from a very logical perspective. And there are two things that has to happen. Number one, you have to have a strong educational system. And a strong educational system, in order to have a strong educational system, then the makeup of the families who attend that educational system, that those families, the demographics of those families have to change. when you have individual schools or a school in a certain area like South Metro, where the majority of the students are coming from free and reduced lunch families, mm-hmm. or they're coming from families who household income is below the median income, then you have so many challenges that you're dealing with. Is that explains why the performances that you're getting from those schools has nothing to do with the intellect of those students. It has everything to do with economics. And so when you have a family that is constantly moving because of unemployment, yeah. and disrupts those students' learning, then their performance in the classroom is going to go down. Mm-hmm. But if you can stabilize that, then you're going to see those students performing at the same level as students in other parts of the school system. And so in order to have a strong educational network, you got to have higher paying jobs. Mm-hmm. And so to get higher paying jobs, you want to attract the type of businesses that are located in what you know as Class A office. Mm-hmm. If you have Class B or Class C offices, then you're going to attract those type of jobs that are already here. Mm-hmm. And so if you want to attract a six-figure type income jobs, you got to have Class A office. Mm-hmm. And with Class A office, then that's going to attract the type of businesses and other projects that's going to provide those jobs. When you can start building Class A office all throughout the South Metro area, and you can land a project like, for example, the State Farm project that landed up in North Metro Atlanta, where it created thousands of jobs. When you can land a project like that, then all of a sudden, you the people who are working in that Class A office now are going to live nearby. Their kids are going to attend the schools, and now you're going to see a transformation in the performances of these schools because you're bringing more stable, higher income families. Right. And so with Class A office, you see an improvement in your schools. When those two characteristics happen, then it's the beginning of a train of what's going to happen next. And now all of a sudden, you're going to see more restaurants that are built that are not fast food restaurants, but there are other higher level type restaurants. You're going to see more shops that are built, because now you have a higher household income that they can patronize shops and restaurants that has a higher price tag than you will find at a general dollar store or at a Save a Lot type grocery store. Mm-hmm. You'll be able to attract those higher end amenities such as restaurants and shops. And then it's just a snowball effect. Mm-hmm. When you have the Class A office and improved schools, and now you're attracting families, now you can start building $500,000 and $1 million homes and communities. And then all of a sudden you're attracting these small business and entrepreneurs who start a company that becomes a $1 billion company within 5 years. You have all those different kind of activities mm-hmm. that will start to happen in the next 10 to 15 years. But what initiates that? What gets that started? Class A office. Mm-hmm. Class A office being built throughout the region, throughout the South Metro area, will be the beginning. And so when you go and you look at the blueprint from the Aerotropolis, those are the type of projects that you're going to see that are being conceptualized and being pitched. They call them town center development, they are mm-hmm. mixed use development. But at the bottom of it, what it really is, they're talking about is the justification of building Class A office. And when you can build Class A office, all these other things will begin to happen.
Yeah, yeah. Very fine point. I do want to ask you a little bit about industrial, but we have a question here from Nigel. Nigel, go ahead and Roland, if you can unmute him. Oh, there you go. How you doing, Nigel? Thanks for being here today.
Great. Thank you so much, Joel, for having me. Thank you, Gerald. It's been absolutely fascinating. I'm a North Carolina native from Durham and spent a lot of time in Fayetteville myself. And great to see how far one of our natives has come in life. I just had a quick question. When we're talking about the systems to replace the heavy rail, the pods, is there a model that's already in operation somewhere in the world? Like, is this the type of technology that's already in effect in Asia, Japan, that sort of thing? What are you, you know, basing it on? Or are we more so the prototype Hartsfield for this type of system?
Well, it's a, that's a two-part response. The first response is yes. And we visited at the Heathrow Airport in London. They have the pod cars in operation at that airport. And we've gone there multiple times. Over in Amsterdam, they have an operation of the pod cars. And they have it in Dubai. They have it in South Korea. And then we've also visited companies where they have built test tracks. And they are preparing to now enter the marketplace with their solution. And so we visited companies in Mexico. We visited companies in California and Los Angeles in the San Francisco area and multiple other locations around the US. There is a PRT, if you will, personal rapid transit operation that is in Morgantown, West Virginia, at the University of West Virginia, that's been in operation since the 1970s. So PRT has actually been running in the United States for almost 50 years, going back to 1975, I believe it is, 74, 75. And so that's the operation that is in the United States, but there are other operations around the world. Those operations are on a very small scale. It's a parking lot solution. It's connecting a airport terminal to a hotel or to a parking lot, but it has not been built. In the case of Morgantown, West Virginia, is primarily servicing that university. Although it is available to the general public, they transport about 15,000 students on a daily basis on that PRT system. And so with it being implemented, my second part response is, with it being implemented as a network for like MARTA has been implemented, that hasn't been done yet. And so we will be breaking ground. And what better place to do that than in the area around the world's busiest airport and in one of the international cities, top international cities in the world, that being Atlanta, and when the World Cup games come here in a few years, we're going to be a showcase for the rest of the world when they see what we're doing here in Atlanta. But yes, there are some operations around the world, and then you have that operation in Morgantown, West Virginia, and then in other cases we visited companies where they have test tracks, and so we want to start with a pilot here. That we are working to have that operational by 25 for PRT, and then to expand it from there in the years to come.
All right, sounds good. So hopefully, Nigel, that answered your question. I made some notes there as to the other cities. So if you want more details on that, actually, I think there's a website also that shows the West Virginia one that's running. So that's something to look into. Quite exciting. The South Side for the longest has been also known for industrial. I'm sure you're aware of the the Douglasville corridor, where there's a lot of industrial development going out that way. Would you say that the demand is also still very high for that, or is the focus of Aerotropolis and your community improvement district, your CID, is it more so focused on multifamily and Class A office space? Or what other asset classes are in demand that you guys want to see out that way? I guess I should ask it that way. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. The overall focus for the Aerotropolis is everything is the table is open for everything. From a CID perspective, we focus more on commercial and industrial, and the demand for industrial is only going to increase, and that increase is going to be significant. Atlanta, Hartsfield Jackson has a strategy right now to increase their cargo activity at the airport. Right now, the activity at Atlanta places that airport in the top 10 in the country, that they're looking to move up in terms of their cargo operations. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to create additional demand. And then, as you know, the Georgia port, especially the one in Savannah, is one of the top performing ports in the country. And the projections from that port is the truck activity coming out of that port in the years to come, before the end of this decade, is going to double, if not triple. Mm-hmm. And a lot of that traffic is coming to the metro Atlanta area. So you got the Hartsfield-Jackson looking to expand their cargo activity, and you got the Savannah port that's going to grow by the end of the decade. If it's going to absolutely double, perhaps triple in its volume, you know about the deepening of the port there.
Yep.
That project is underway, and which is going to allow larger cargo ships to come in. So that's where that expansion is going to come from. So the need for the industrial space is only going to increase. What the Aerotropolis Initiative is all about is not to displace or to stop that growth, but is to make sure that it is integrated in a larger strategy for development, and that so that it's not negatively impacting communities, number one. Mm-hmm. And our focus on infrastructure is making sure that our road networks can accommodate the growth with improvements and enhancements. And that's where the transit solutions are important, because if you can provide a solution that is more attractive, people who are driving cars today perhaps would now take public transportation. So all that is connected, but that growth is not going anywhere. But we need to make sure that our strategies are aligned such that it does that the industrial growth does not negatively impact our communities, but it does the opposite. It is integrated in the growth and development of our communities. And so what you're going to find, where you used to build a lot of warehouses, now you're going to see that combined with mixed-use development,
mm-hmm.
rather than just industrial development or office development only. And so you're going to see more of mixed-use development, which includes all the different uses to accommodate the growth that is coming. One of the first projects that we did as a community improvement district, we worked with Georgia Department of Transportation and on Camp Creek Parkway over 285, that bridge was modified into a divergent diamond interchange. And that's cross the bridge on the wrong side of the road, so to speak.
Right.
And that design, what it does is the throughput now of that interchange has increased 40, if not 60%. So where in previous years, you come to that interchange, you may see the traffic signal turn red to green multiple times. Now, when that signal turns green, you're probably going to go through that interchange nonstop. Well, that was all to support the growth of the industrial and warehouses that were built off of Camp Creek Parkway and all of that traffic that's coming from I-20, and they cut through Camp Creek Parkway from I-20. Now you have a bridge solution that more efficiently manages that traffic, and we're looking to increase that and continue that type of road network improvements throughout our districts to support the growth that is going to happen. So that's why I believe, Joel, that South Metro in the next 25 years is going to be the place to make investments for the investor and for the developer to come, because we are putting all the pieces in place to support those investments and to make sure that once the communities are built out, that they continue to operate at an efficient level. Because I don't know about you, but I dread having to get on the interstate in Metro Atlanta these days, because I know a 20 or 30 minute drive is now going to take 40 minutes to an hour, if not longer. And I come home all the time saying to my wife, we got to do something about all this traffic.
I know. You know, it's amazing. I used to not set any meetings before 10 o'clock and none after 3, because it was like, yes, I got to be able to get in and out. And but nowadays, you know, I was on the connector Friday. And I was on the connector yesterday too. But the point is that the middle of the day is just congested. It's just crazy, you know. And then with this partial crane collapse that just happened in Midtown, I mean, traffic is insane. Right. You know, as I was trying to get to my office there. But it's quite a thing. But I'm glad you mentioned that, because even if you look at the south side of 285 there below the airport, it's already, 12, 14 lanes? You know, at least 6 in each direction, right? 7 or so. And so how much wider are you going to make it?
Correct.
Right? I mean, at some point, you got to come up with another alternative than just keep widening highways. You can't just doing that, right? And so even if you look at the fifth runway, it already sits on top of 285 on the interstate. Right. So, you know, how much more are you going to do this? So you got to have another solution. So, you know, and I will say I admire the fact that you're in this position because technology is the way forward. You know, it's not just more concrete. You know, there has to be a better way to get this thing done. And so I'm excited about, you know, what you guys are doing. What are the plans for the Camp Creek corridor? Is there anything specific there that you want to talk about, or is that just a longer conversation for another day?
No, we actually have a couple of projects that are in the early stages of design to make improvements on Camp Creek Parkway. So you're going to see in the next 5 to 7 years, you're going to see a completely different corridor that is going to appreciate truck traffic as well as vehicular traffic, as well as pedestrians and bicyclists. So we have some designs that are going on now that are going to make improvements to Welcome All Road, at North Commerce, at Washington Road, for that entire corridor. And it is to accommodate all these modes. But at the same time, it is not going to displace any business. It's not going to be widening of the roads. It's just going to be smart growth and smart development as it relates to infrastructure. And it's going to be enhanced by these emerging technologies. And Joel, I'd just like to emphasize one more time,
please,
that you hit it right on the head. Our future is not going to be built out the same way our present and past has been built. Mm-hmm. We are going to have to embrace and incorporate technology. And that's why I firmly believe that in terms of public transportation, the 21st century is going to require an on-demand solution for public transportation. And when you can deliver an on-demand solution, those people who are not electing to use public transportation today, you're going to be inviting those individuals to public transportation and like never before. And it just look at what Uber and Lyft has done to our getting around. You know, now we know my daughter, I'll tell you this quick story. My daughter, I was in a meeting downtown Atlanta, and I had 3 or 4 different meetings to get to, and I was telling her about it, and she said, go park your car and then just Uber and Lyft from one meeting to the next. So you don't have to be driving around. But my thinking was, I was dreading having to drive to all these meetings, right? But then the next generation person tells me, there is a better way to get around.
Right.
And well, now if you can offer that same choice with public transportation, then people are going to take public transportation if they have an on-demand solution where they can take their app. I mean, they can access an app on their device and schedule when to be picked up and when to be dropped off. You're going to find new riders for public transportation.
Yeah. You know, I just want to kind of elaborate on that because I think you're spot on. You know, if you look at it, when Uber and Lyft first came out, I was like, there's no way in the world I'm jumping in some stranger's car going anywhere, right? And yet still, it just exploded, you know? And it was even kind of like, you look at the New York City taxi drivers, they took it for granted. And basically, they pretty much got ran out of business because of what's happened with Uber and Lyft, you know? Yes. And even in Mexico City, I would find myself riding around in Uber down in Mexico City of all places because of the traffic issue instead of renting a car. But then also you think of like these little scooters, the bird scooters and whatnot that you have, where it's like the last mile. You would think nobody's ever going to do that because what if I fall down? I'm going too fast on the sidewalk, whatever. They're all over the place, all over Midtown. They are everywhere. And it's not just Atlanta. It's everywhere, right?
So it
just proves that if the technology is there, people will utilize it and it will become a better way to get things done. You know, and the next generation is certainly embracing technology, you know, so it's a powerful thing, man. So, man, I applaud you. I certainly applaud you. I'm excited about what you're doing. And, you know, we got to get together one day for lunch and talk about some of these other things, you know, it'd be a great thing to do.
Anytime.
Yeah.
I welcome that opportunity.
We love that. And you talk about Class A office. Porsche has certainly proven that you can do Class A on the South Side. So, and I'm sure there'll be more. So that's exciting. Yeah, absolutely. So I tell you what, we're kind of at our time limit. Actually, we're a couple minutes over. I'm going to let you have the last word. What else do you want folks to know about development in Atlanta and why they should certainly consider the south side of Atlanta as a place for development?
Well, as Hartsfield-Jackson has demonstrated, the world travels to Atlanta. Mm-hmm. It's the world's busiest airport. More than 100 million people come to Atlanta. In years past, they fly to Atlanta, they get in a taxi, they get on MARTA, and they go downtown. Mm-hmm. There is now activity in the Atlanta airport area that is now attracting people to remain in the airport area. And these emerging technologies that we are exploring, the Aerotropolis Initiative, and you have a body of jurisdictions that are working together to support investors and developers within their projects. And so now the question is no longer, no, you can't do something, because here's the reason. Now the response is yes, if you follow our strategy. So no, because has become yes, if. And that attitude has changed the direction of South Metro, has changed the direction of Atlanta, Georgia. And now South Metro is becoming the place where the airport has brought the world to Atlanta. And now our initiatives is bringing the world to South Metro. And we welcome that opportunity to demonstrate to you how we're all working together and how we can support your projects and especially your investment in the Atlanta airport area.
Gotcha. Well, very exciting, man. Again, this has been a wonderful discussion. Gerald, you didn't cease to amaze. So fantastic information. And I really, really appreciate all your hard work and what you're doing down there to continue to make Atlanta a vibrant city, especially on the south side. So I thank you so much for it. And, definitely keep in touch.
My pleasure.
Absolutely. So all this has been the Mornings with Joel CRE podcast. We're excited again. We had Gerald McDowell here from the Atlanta Airport Community Improvement District speaking with us, and certainly give attention to what he had to say because it's very powerful information. Gerald, thank you again, and we look forward to seeing you guys next week. Thank you so much. You've been listening to Mornings with Joel, Commercial Real Estate Podcast, where we focus on rising stars and established players in commercial real estate and talk to them about how they are building legacies in today's marketplace. Please check back weekly to hear our upcoming guests.